Well, hello there, folks. It's Jackie here inviting you to join me this week on Woman to Woman. We have Martina Mulligan, who is a youth advocate worker in North County, Dublin. We'll be chatting about the busyness of life and the ups and downs of juggling motherhood and work and so much more. So join me, Jackie, on Woman to Woman this week. So today on Woman to Woman, we're talking to Martina Mulligan, who's a youth and family support worker in North County Dublin. Martina, we're going to talk about attachment today. Some kids feel, I don't know, more secure than others and more attached than others. What's that about?
Attachment, there's so many different areas of attachment. Mother and child attachment. Attachment to peers, you know, young people with their peers. So attachment, you know, it's a big word, you know, that there's so many different aspects of it. Going back to one of the studies I have done in psychology, one of the theorists is called John Bowlby, and he would believe that mental health and behavioural problems could be attributed to early childhood. What does that mean? So when a child is born and the mother, for example, is, you know, is healthy, and the child looks into the mother's eyes and the mother looks into the child's eyes. If the mother is actually healthy and well, the child is filled with, you know, security and safety and feeling, you know, loved. But if the mother is depressed, which, you know, obviously happens a lot with postnatal depression, the mother's not available for whatever reason.
Or trauma.
Or trauma, of course, yes. So, which happens a lot. You know, it's kind of looking into, you know, pools of nothingness.
And so the child's looking back at the mother into a pool of nothingness if a mother is, you know, not intentionally depressed. She just is feeling sad or because of maybe divorce or separation or losing a parent or whatever. She can just feel empty. You reckon that the child sees that emptiness in the mother's eyes?
Yeah, yes. And this goes back to the theorist as well that said that. If, you know, there's so much distraction in this world, you know, the comings and goings and work balance and family life and media and social media and, you know, just people trying to switch off in life. So if the mother is, you know, is intentional and looking at the child, healthy or not, it's actually better than not looking at the child, you know, filled.
So does the child look for the mother's eyes then?
Absolutely.
In the pram.
If you actually, you know, today, for instance, if you go out and you actually see a child, the child is always looking for the mother's eye contact. And this is just something that, you know, when we're fixing our eyes on Jesus, it's actually trying to be filled by the Lord and filled by not life and the distraction, but filled by God. But you have to fix your eyes on Jesus, but fixing your eyes on your child. And the child is just not being aware, it's a natural looking for the mother's eyes to connect and to be filled.
So are the first 3 months the most important, or the first year or 3 years, what?
Again, going back to John Bowlby, he actually did research and it actually, the first 6 months are crucial for a primary caretaker. Obviously, the mom is the best, you know, and that's what God created. But if, you know, the mother's not available or not there or passed away or whatever, or there's addiction, it goes to the father. Of a primary caretaker or a grandmother or an auntie
or a family member.
A family member that is healthy. Mm. But there has to be one. The bond was made for the mother and and the child to be healthy and secure and safe. So if the child doesn't get this, going back to the security of the attachment, if the child doesn't get this,
the father
can do it, but going back to the secure attachment, if the mother or the primary caretaker does not do that, this, as a theorist says, goes back to the whole life of the child. They're kind of running on empty. They're looking for this security, the bond that was meant to happen for a child for the 6 months or the first 3 years, which are crucial. If they don't get it, they're actually running after a true life.
I remember having my second child, and my father had only died, and I gave birth to him, and it was a really difficult birth, and the doctors and the psychologists in the hospital thought, I'm not getting attached to the baby and I need to. But I couldn't, because I was so weak and so upset and sad after the loss of my dad 6 weeks before the child was born. And do you think he would have experienced that, the child?
I do believe the child would have experienced that.
But can he be healed?
Absolutely. And that's why we believe as Christians.
Mm.
Of course you can be healed and whole, and your child and can be. And this is, again, going back to, you know, where we put our hope and our faith.
Mm. And God can restore then.
God can
the
restore.
The child and the mother.
Absolutely, 100%. The restoration is always there, available. But that we have to go back to being healed.
Yeah.
You know, you can't let it go and just, it's going to be gone. It has to be. There has to be probably a process of...
nurture, I suppose.
Nurture, no, probably going into that area of pain, of what happened.
You know, feeling it.
Feeling it and processing it and then letting it go and let the Lord restore and renew what was broken and what was lost, you know, and grief.
What about guilt, though? I felt so guilty for so many years. Mm. I thought, out of my three children, you know, he suffered, so I feel guilty about that. I suppose that's a normal feeling.
But that shows the love that you have for your child and the love that you wanted to give your child, but you weren't available at that present time because of the intense grief that you experienced with a loss of your father, your dad. So it's something that, of course, wholeness is there for everybody if we, you know, process.
So this happens to people. They do go through that trauma of grief or loss or divorce or separation or loss of a job or even just addiction or whatever they're going through, and they can't fill the baby's needs, but the baby is growing daily anyway. And then, you know, sometimes I look at my son and I say, well, you know, he might have had problems in school, and then I feel guilty again. Or he might have, you know, not been able to socialise as well. And then I kind of, even my other boys would think that I protected him more and that he's my favourite. And he was a sick baby, so I was protecting him, but it was also a bit of guilt there too.
And that's very normal and very understandable to have that guilt. So it's not being hard on yourself, you know. Mothers try and do the best they can. But just, I've been reminded there of, in my, you know, family and youth support work, when I'm working with families, I really think it does take a village, because sometimes that mother is not available for whatever reason.
A village to rear the child.
Exactly, because you're saying there that you weren't, you know, with that intense grief. You know, in different countries they take, you know, the mother can actually just rest with the child when the child is born, and food is given in, and you know, the
community support
comes in. But now we feel we're on our own. We have to be the, you know, do it all. Mm. But that's not true. It does take a village to rear a child, I believe.
Mm.
A healthy
school,
village.
So if one person clubs,
is, absolutely,
the football,
local clubs,
parents,
local clubs, the grandparents, if they're around, you know, aunties, uncles, cousins,
neighbors,
you know, it does. So if one is whatever that week, not their best they can be, other people can step in. So it's not being hard on yourself. So I do think there's a lot around attachment.
Thanks, Martina. Well, that's all we have time for today on Woman to Woman. And if you've missed any of today's show, you can listen back again on our website by going to www.ucbireland.ie/podcast. And clicking on the link for our teaching programmes. If you have any questions or comments about today's show, email me, jackie@ucbradio.ie. That email again is jackie@ucbradio.ie. Thanks for listening. Until next time, take care and God bless.